Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Apostle Gregory Martin, and I want to welcome to you to Deliverance Live on Blog Talk Radio tonight. We have a particular special program here. We're talking about the promises of God that he has spoken in his word concerning, if you will, life itself, not only life, but life after death. So what we want to do, we want to talk to you on tonight. We want to thank God for our panelists here on tonight. We appreciate them for being here on Blog Talk. As always, they have amount of people that care about you as a listening audience, and you can turn around and get your prayer request in by calling the number 215-383-5866. For tonight on our panel, we have Minister Elder Anthony Mason, as a co-host also, and Minister Nikki Cuthbert as our co-host also. They're also a part of our panel here tonight, along with Minister April Reeves, Minister Daniel Martin, and Minister Yvonne Watson, and also Elder Craig Blake, and Minister Antoinette Martin, and Prophetess Tasha Taylor, Minister Ricky Castor, as well as Evangelist Yvette Watson. We have them on tonight to assist us in the promises that are in the Word of God. Tonight, in the offset, is that I'm talking about God's promises. But while, as always, when I'm beginning our Blog Talk broadcast, well, then I'll be asking the Lord what to say as a prelude to our actual panel questions and the panelists that will come on behind me. But this time the Lord started talking to me and dealing with me. And the Lord said, many of my people, I am with them during their trials and hardships that they experience on a day-by-day basis. Others know, I have said I would never leave them or forsake them. Yet they still wrestle with bouts of doubt and unbelief concerning my love and my care for them at such times. I hear their prayers, he said to me, and bottle up all of their tears. And I know their thoughts that I know my thoughts that I have thought concerning them, thoughts of good and not evil, to give them their requests and their prayer petitions, in order that they may receive an expected end that should not be cut off. Therefore, God spoke to me, continue to speak to me. He says, therefore, go to, in other words, go to my word. He says, for I have never, and see that I have never failed or forsaken those whom I have promised things in the days of old. But I have performed those things that I have spoken out of my mouth, even when they didn't seem to see it or know how I was going to work it out. Yet I did it that my name might be magnified and glorified in them. As I spake to the patriarchs of old, even to Abraham, the servant of God, while in the earth, he said, am I not a God a God of all the earth? Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, hear the word from my mouth, and I will pour out upon you my spirit, and of but will pour upon you my treasures of blessings that will alter your going through. And though you go, and when you go to the place of your prayer and seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Because God says, I will do it. I will perform the things that I have spoken, saith the Lord. Tonight, Psalms 45 and 1 has been a fulfillment for myself. Because it says this, as it happened that my heart is indicted in a good manner concerning the things concerning my king, and my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. So as touching the things concerning the promises of word of God, God is concerned about you as he was speaking to me, and God is concerned about what he said he wants to fulfill in your life. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up the battle. Don't give up the fight, because God is concerned about fulfilling his word in you. He won't change. He won't alter. I was trying to write these things down somewhat fast, and so if I stumbled a little bit in trying to express it, yet these things God did speak to me concerning our listening audience here on tonight. But with that being said, I want to go to our panel now. And with our panel, we are talking again about the promises of the Word of God concerning life and life after death. And I want to first approach Elder Anthony Mason concerning the promises of life, of God's Word. Elder Anthony Mason.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor. The promises, promise that I thought concerning the Bible and God's Word was the promise of joy. The promise of joy. God promises us joy, not happiness, but joy. Joy is much deeper than happiness. And the scripture says in the book of Psalms, about the 89th chapter, the 15th verse, said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of my countenance. And then scripture, Psalms 126 and 5 said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Every time, everything that you go through, Pastor, I remember you always say that your labor is not in vain, and there's a reward, there's profit and reward in all labor. Yeah, you might sow in tears, but the Bible says you're going to reap in joy. Everything that you sow in tears, it might be hard, it might be difficult, it might be painful, but when it comes back and when you get ready to reap concerning those things that you have sown in your tears, you're going to reap it in joy. And the, my last scripture talk concerning joy is Psalms 16:11. The reason I say this is my last scripture because it's so amazing, it's so powerful. It said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. If you need joy in your life, the Bible promises you joy. It promises you joy in the presence of God. If you need joy in your life, you feel like you're full of sorrow, full of pain, full of grief, full of everything, the opposite of joy, get into the presence of God. Get down on your knees, get into prayer, commune with the Lord, and touch and agree with him, and he will give you the fullness of joy. Anytime, the Bible also talks about leaping for joy, not just leaping naturally so, but leaping out there spiritually so, leaping and doing things that are out of the ordinary, leaping into the presence of God, leaping into his anointing. And if you get into the presence of God, you will receive the fullness of joy. Joy is promised to you in his word, it's promised to you in his scriptures, and God promised to give you joy everlasting. Amen.
Very well put, Elder Mason. There is virtually no one in the scriptures ever gone into the presence of God and didn't come out with joy on the inside. Now, you can search the scriptures through. People came forth with the joy of the Lord. Minister Nikki Cuthbert, would you share with us also those things that the Lord have shared with you concerning our topic tonight, the promises of God's word? Elder Anthony Mason talked about the joy. And I'll tell you, the joy of, I got joy like a river, the script, the songwriter says, and that's because of what Christ has done for me. Minister Nikki Cuthbert, let's hear from you.
Praise the Lord. When I think about the promises of God, I think about faith and how he promised us if we just have faith the size of a mustard seed. And if you ever held a mustard seed in your hand, it is very tiny. And if we just have that tiny bit of faith, we can move a mountain. Mount Everest is nothing in comparison to us if we just have a tiny bit of faith. And even our salvation and our belief is based on faith. We have to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and we have to believe and have faith that he took away our sins and that he rose again for the dead, for our sins. And a lot of times when I think about faith, I think about how scripture says it is impossible to please him without faith, because God looks for faith. He wants us to have faith. He responds to faith. Oftentimes when I think about faith, I think about the message Prophetess Martin preached was faith is your servant. If you just have the faith, we'll go out and get everything that you need, everything that you want, and that's the promise that God has made to us. If you use faith, you could go get that car. You could go get that house. You could go get that job. Just have faith. Believe. And don't vary from that belief. Have faith that he will do it and he will come through. Praise the Lord.
Every promise that God has given us hangs on faith. And Minister Cuthbert, you covered that very well. Then God has given us also the spirit of faith so that we have the ability to believe God. And God wants us, as the minister was talking about, wants us to approach him, wants us to turn to him, wants us to look to him so that he could increase our faith and give us the things that we both not only need, as the scripture said, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory through by Christ Jesus, but at the same time, he wants to give us those desires of our heart. Faith will give it to us. I'd rather have faith than I have money. I'd rather have faith than I have anything else, because if I have faith, it will get me everything I need. I want to go right now also to Minister Yvette Watson, Minister Evangelist Yvette Watson. We're talking about tonight the promises of God's word, the promises of God's word. All right, Minister Yvette.
Good evening, Apostle Martin. When I think of the promises of God, I begin to think of the scriptures. I begin to think about grace, and I think about how God promises us grace. And with grace, the meaning of grace is God's unmerited favor. And when I think about this, just the meaning all by itself, unmerited favor, unmerited by itself means undeserved. So God promises to give us his favor, undeserved favor, when at times we don't even deserve it. And when I thought about that, I began to think about Paul, and when he spake in chapter 2 Corinthians 12:1, when he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I began to think about Paul. God even gave Paul grace, and I began to think about how he was one who persecuted the saints. He was totally against Christ, but yet and still, the grace that God gave him, forgave him for his past mistakes, forgave him for all the things that he did in the past. And in other words, he called him unto him and he saved him. And not only did he save him, but because of the grace of God, God used him great and mightily. In spite of what he did in the past, God saved him because he repented him. God made a change in his life, and he became a man of God. And I began to think about that. The favor that God offers us is offered to his people. For the Bible says in Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. And because we walk upright, and because we seek his face, and because we live for him, and because we serve him wholeheartedly, God promises to give us that that grace. He promises to give us his unmerited favor, undeserved favor. It's times when we don't even do the things that we should do. We often don't pray, and it may be times where we won't get out of our bed late at night when God calls us to go in prayer. But even in that, when we find ourselves in the situations that we repent to God, God's unmerited favor is shown toward us because that was one of his promises. Amen.
Unmerited favor, grace. God gives us his will, but then he gives us the grace to fulfill his will. God gives us his will, but then he gives us grace to fulfill his will. In other words, grace to get the job done. And I do believe what we need in this time from the Lord is just a little more grace, because grace will make a difference. And I enjoy Evangelist Watson, and I want to go to Minister Daniel Martin. Minister Daniel Martin, would you also discuss with us some of the promises that God has spoken to and given us through his word?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Pastor Martin. Thank you. God bless you. I'm talking about the promises of God concerning help in troubled times. This is where the area where God shows up and shows out. In these times in our lives, when we have troubled times, he loves to come and help us and love to come and prove himself. Now, in Psalms, the 37th chapter and the 39th verse, it says, But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, and in their strength, and he is their strength in troubled time. Now, think about Daniel and how Daniel, he was in trouble when he was in the lion's den. But then in chapter 6, in the 22nd verse, it says, my God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth. Now, he was in trouble in the lion's den, even though it was cold and it was wet and it was dark down there. The trouble was the lions, and God shut their mouths, and it also said where he couldn't hurt him. So God will be there. He is our strength. He is our peace. He is our refuge in the troubled times. He'll always be there for us because we're his children. He'll always be there for us because this is what he promised. He'll always be there for us because he will keep his own commandment, that he will always be there for us. And I just want to let you know that God will always be there for us. Amen.
Help in troubled times. Help in troubled times. We all need help. When times are troubling, we all need help. And like what I was saying in the offset that the Lord has spoke to me, is that a lot of people, God's people, they don't think that he cares or that he's there in troubled times. But he said, I will never leave you. I will not ever forsake you. I won't forsake you in troubled times. And Psalms 46:1 say, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Thank you, Minister Daniel Martin. And I want to go to Elder Craig Blake. Elder Craig Blake, would you talk to us concerning the promises of the Word of God in reference to the life both now or the life thereafter?
Amen, Apostle Martin. I was thinking of humility as one of the promises that God gives. You know, we can all walk in humility, and Jesus was the ultimate example of humility. The Bible says he was meek and lowly in heart, and he rode into Jerusalem. Although he was a king from heaven, he still humbled himself to come down to die on the cross. The Bible says he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. So he humbled himself as an example to us. If you remember, he even washed the disciples' feet. I mean, think about that. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God, the King, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, but yet he stooped down and washed the feet of the disciples. You know, and the Bible lets us know in James 4, verse 6, it says, God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. So I thought about that. You know, if you really want more grace on your life, if you want God's hand to remain on your life, you have to walk in humility. God will add grace to you through humility. And there's so many examples of humble servants of God in the Bible, and it's so important for us to remain humble.
Amen. Amen. So many examples. Humility. The Bible said before exaltation is humility. Humility before exaltation. If you want to go up in God, learn how to go down in God. If you want to make headways in God, learn how to come in and be in the presence of God. And I appreciate you, Elder Craig Blake, amen, for giving us the word of God in reference to humility. And right now, let me go to Prophetess Tasha Taylor. Give us also what you have concerning the promises of God's word.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. I was thinking about the promises of God, and I was thinking about forgiveness. And I went through the scriptures, and I went to Mark 11 and 25 and 26, and it reads as such, and it says, when you stand and praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And I think about forgiveness, and what would salvation be if we didn't have forgiveness? Because Jesus died on the cross that we would be able to be forgiven for our sins and the things that we've done. And even so much so, because God, Jesus and God forgave us, we need to be able to forgive others. And many times people hurt us and they do things to us that are horrible, but we have to learn to forgive. And to forgive is as if they had never done it, and let it go. Because at the end of it, God will take care of that person. A lot of times we want to get back at people, but it's good to forgive. And I thank God for forgiving just even me personally, because I think about what I was when I was in sin. And a lot of times I look back and I say, wow, what if God didn't forgive me? I was really a mess. And a lot of people can say that. And some people even who are listening to us tonight, the devil may have told you, you are such a mess that you can't be forgiven. But that's not true. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1 and 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So tonight, forgiveness is available to anybody that wants it. And that's the beauty of it, because even in salvation, we can do things wrong. We may say something wrong. We may act on something. We may think wrong. Maybe something in our heart. But the blessed thing that we have is forgiveness. We can go to God and repent. And God is there. He knows that we're flesh. We're weak. And we are able, and he forgives us because we come to him with that. So I just wanted to say that is one of the awesome promises of God, is that we have forgiveness.
And that's what is so much needed in the churches and among God's people today. And that is the ability to forgive. You know, it takes our, listen to Minister Nikki Cuthbert, it takes faith to forgive people. And it takes obedience to forgive people, obedience to what God has said. If we think about it, if God could turn around, as you were ministering, Prophetess Taylor, if God could forgive us of those gross and ugly things, some things that are so horrible and so gross that it's a shame to even mention some of those things that we used to do. Nevertheless, if the love of God and the blood of Jesus Christ could forgive us, I agree with you, then we ought to forgive one another. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 and 32, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. At this point, I want to let you know, first of all, before I go to our next panelist, is 215-383-5866. You can call and get your prayer request in. This is a time for you to grab hold, our listening audience, to the promises of God. I heard Minister Nikki again talk about my wife's, one of her favorite messages was Faith is Your Servant. I tell our listening audience, I have never heard that message preached like that. In all of the years I've heard preachers preach that the message on faith, never on that level. But anyway, we want to move on. But we're getting ready to go to break in a little bit. But before we go to break, well, then I want to bring in Minister Yvonne Watson. Minister Yvonne Watson. Okay, we're talking about the promises of God's word, the promises that's in God's word concerning life.
Pastor Martin, yes, one of the promises we have in God's word concerning loneliness, I can personally relate to loneliness, and it's hard for us to admit at all alone. We can be in a room full of people, people who love us, and still feel lonely. But our Heavenly Father knows our every thought. He understands all our lonely emotions and longs for us to know that He is with us. We can talk to our closest family member or confidant and friend, and as soon as we stop talking, we're still in that same lonely place. So that's when we must run to the Lord instead of from Him. We can remind Him of His promises in His word, and we can literally cry out and say, Lord, help me. You promised me in your word, John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You promised in 2 Corinthians 6:18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In Isaiah 43:4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. And in Psalm 40:17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I really like that one a lot because that was David speaking. And he said, don't delay, O my God. And we can actually say that to Him. We can run to Him and remind Him of His promises in His word. He hears us and He will answer us. He already knows what we need before we ask. We just need to focus on Him. The promises are right there, front and center, in His word. It's a matter of us believing it and receiving it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Loneliness. Loneliness. Oh, I got a few questions to ask on tonight. Loneliness. God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The emphasis is He's right here. He's still here in the midst of whatever you experience, whatever you go through. And as you said, Minister Watson, you can be around people. And how so much is it? Some people that are in going to church, they are around people, and people around them are laughing and whatever. But inside, even if they're laughing on the outside, sometimes inside they feel so alone and so in a position or predicament where they feel that they're there by themselves. It is the foundation for people to say, don't nobody love me, don't nobody care, and nobody is concerned. I might as well just do something different. I might as well leave church. I might as well just go back to where I used to be. I might as well commit suicide. That's an extreme dilemma that people are in today in reference to the idea of them being lonely. I do appreciate that. Minister Watson. But now let's get ready to go to break. We're going to pick up our other panelists on the other side of break, and we appreciate everyone talking to us on tonight concerning the promises of the Word of God. And God bless you. This is Apostle Gregory Martin. Let's get ready to go to break. I'll see you on the other side of break.
Sing it with me, say, I got
God bless you. This is Apostle Gregory Martin. I'm back. We're on the other side of break. Subject tonight was promises of the Word of God, promises in reference that God has spoken to us concerning life, promises in the Word of God. And right now, let me go to our next panelist here on this evening. I've enjoyed the panelists that have spoken before, and I thank God for all of you that are participating in this subject on tonight. But let's hear from Minister Ricky Castor. Minister Ricky Castor, let's hear something concerning the promises of God.
Thank you, Apostle Gregory Martin. The promise of God, promises of God concerning my thing is one thing that all of us, all of the saints and believers are waiting for, and that's the resurrection of Christ. It's one thing that God promised. The one thing that Jesus Christ promised was the resurrection. And this part of the promise, every man is going to be partaker of. According to John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, it says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And it's one thing that God has promised. We know that we hear all about all the good, but it's one thing that the saints and the blood-washed believers are waiting for, and we're waiting on the resurrection. We're waiting on the rapture. We're waiting for the appearing of Jesus Christ. But them that are not ready, them that have not given their life to Jesus Christ, they're also ready, but they won't be excited as the saints will be excited when the resurrection comes, because unfortunately, they are going to be resurrected in a day of or in corruption. And we know that we're not of the corruptible seed, but we're the incorruptible seed by the word of God. So that's one other promise that God has given, is the resurrection. For those that believe, you keep holding on to your faith. You keep holding on to Jesus Christ, because one day we will rise. God bless.
Praise the Lord. The resurrection. I heard you say, Minister Castor, that everybody, one day all will be resurrected. One day everybody will hear his voice. It's in the graves, the Bible says. And they, as you spake, that have done good, they shall be resurrected unto life. But those that have done evil, to the resurrection of damnation. But nevertheless, all will be resurrected, just like all will go into eternity. Everyone that's ever lived will go back into eternity. But where they spend eternity at, is based upon whether or not, as you speak, they have given their life to Jesus Christ. But the promise to all of us believers is that the Lord is coming to get us. We're going to be resurrected. And others will just be caught up. And I like that idea of being caught up in the moment, in a twinkle of an eye. But if we don't, those that don't get caught up, either way, they will still be resurrected. And I appreciate that, Minister Ricky Castor, when you spoke about the resurrection. I'm getting ready to ask Sister Antoinette Martin. Sister Antoinette Martin, we're getting ready to ask you to share with us also another promise that God have given the people, and those things that you have studied here on today concerning the promises of God.
Good afternoon, Pastor Gregory Martin. Yeah, there are so many promises throughout the entire Bible, and one of them is eternal life. St. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." St. John 6:47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." So trust and believe in Jesus Christ. We all have eternal life in heaven or hell. You're going to spend your life eternally.
So if you live a sinful life, hell is where you you're going to spend the rest of your life, well, eternally. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So trust in the promises of God's word and believe on the name of Jesus Christ and receive your gift. You know, surrender and serve him and only him and, you know, receive eternal life in heaven. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Sister Martin, Minister Martin, I thank God for that because I just heard Minister Ricky Castor, he said concerning the resurrection that he spake concerning that there is like a corporate resurrection where everybody is going to be resurrected. And I hear what you're saying. Everybody, Minister Martin, is going to receive eternal life. In other words, they're going to live eternally. I hear what you're saying. That, and that's a corporate word right there, where everybody's going to go into eternity, everybody's going to live eternally, but the difference is, as you brought out, some going to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ, and some are going to live eternally without him. And that's a sad situation, that's a sad position, that's a sad condition for a person to wind up when you've got the opportunity to live for Christ, to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept him into your heart and your life. Give him, you got this opportunity, so give him the opportunity to change your life. See what he will do. They used the expression, well, try Jesus. The songwriters in the churches used to say, try Jesus, or I've tried Jesus. Well, then, but wait a minute, I don't want to just try him. I want to actually make a committed decision for him, because if he's going to come back, or if there's going to be a resurrection, or if everybody's going into eternity, we might as well make up our mind that we're going into eternity to be with Jesus versus going into eternity without Jesus and going to a place called hell. It's a decision that is made not after death. The decision is made by us before death. And seeing that there's once appointed for man to die, and after this, the judgment, there is no guarantee that we know exactly when we're going to leave the planet. Therefore, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. The time is now. The day is now. The hour is now. You may not see the week going. Many people are not seeing the next day come into play. You and I've got to make up our mind that we're going to live for Jesus, and you that are living for Jesus, I don't care what it takes, hang on to Jesus, because a time is coming where Jesus Christ is going to come back, and there's going to be some great transitional happenings that people that are waiting for him will rejoice to see, and people that are not waiting for him will be horrified behind. I thank God. We're talking about the promises of God. God has promised both positive and negative things in reference positive to all of his people, positive to them that want to live for him, negative things to those that turn around and don't want to live for him. But right now, let me address Minister April Reeves. Minister April Reeves, will you talk to us also concerning some of the promises of God that's in the scripture? Just talk to us tonight in our listening audience.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. Well, one of the promises of God that I have is hope. And a lot of people in today's generation have lost hope concerning things that they might want or need in life, whether it be trials or tribulations, temptations, failures, disappointment, people who would try to kill their hope or bring discouragement, or even the enemy. People have given up on hope. And I'm reminded of the story with Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah lost hope waiting on the promise of God concerning a son. Instead, she made a fleshly decision and told Abraham to go into her handmaid. Now, this was someone who she loved, but she wanted to do things her own way because she believed that she was too old to bear a child. So I'm here to encourage you tonight, whoever is listening, don't be like Sarah and lose hope. Grab hold to the hope in God, which is his word. Then you may see the fulfillment of that hope according to the will of God. For Psalm 31 and 24 say, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart, and ye that hope in the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hope. Abraham hoped against hope. And you brought that out real well, Minister Reeves, how that he turned around and Sarah gave up hope, but Abraham never lost hope altogether. Although for a moment he made a decision that have affected the world down to our generation. But in going in with Hagar, and there's been war between those that were born after the flesh, as Ishmael was, but then, and not according to the promise of God, have always warred against those that have been born after the promises of God, as Isaac was. And we're the children of Isaac, being the children of Abraham. We are all of the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, being again the children of Abraham. And so as a result, and the scripture say, in Isaac shall thy seed be called also, when God spake to Abraham. So as a result, those that were according to the promise, well, then we have hope. And as you brought up, Minister Reeves, well, then so many people are losing or giving up on their hope. And if they would just muster up and make up their mind, though all hope has failed concerning those things that they were believing, was wanting to, expecting to receive, if you would regroup, re-grab hold to hope and be like Abraham and hope against those hopes that have already failed, but then God will turn around and fulfill. I like when you said that. God will fulfill, yet fulfill his word in you. And so we have some promises that have been given to us that we've talked about on tonight. Minister Antoinette talked about eternal life. Minister Ricky Castor talked about the resurrection. Minister Nikki Cuthbert talked about faith. Minister Tasha Taylor talked about forgiveness. Minister Elder Anthony Mason talked about joy. Minister April Reeves talked about hope. And Minister Yvonne Watson, she dealt with the word loneliness. Elder Craig Blake dealt with humility. And I'll tell you of a fact, is that these are the things that are affecting God's people here on tonight. These are the things that are affecting God's people. And what we want to make sure is that we are aware that if we will take the word of God and the promises of God, look at what God has said and what God has promised, I guarantee you that God will bring it to pass. Yes, so we have the ministers that have been giving us some promises here on tonight. And I've got a question or two. There was ministry, I believe I called Minister Yvette Watson. Minister Yvette Watson, she spoke to us also on tonight, and I thank God for her comments also on faith and the promises of God on tonight, and for she spoke to us on grace, God's unmerited favor, grace, God's favor toward us. And when God turned around and give us favor, well, then what happened, then God is saying to you, I'm giving you the go ahead to perform. Grace, it will be that thing that will help us get some things done that we need to get done, whether seeking God, whether praying, whether witnessing, whether doing the works of God. We need grace to get us over and take us over. That's God, unmerited favor. People speak about favor all the time, but I don't know if they understand that grace is that is nothing but God's grace that's been applied for you to get and accomplish some things in life. Well, I've got a question or two that I want to ask our panelists. In the life of forgiveness, Sister Tasha Taylor, Prophetess Taylor, you made mention of forgiveness. I want to know, what do you do when you go to someone and ask them to forgive you and they refuse to do so? Because we're talking about forgiveness. What do you do? And I've been there when you ask somebody to forgive you and they just refuse to do. What can you say to a person that have done that?
Well, Pastor Martin, if you're going to someone and you're asking them for their forgiveness, for whatever you may have done to them, and they don't forgive, it's not on you anymore. If you went there sincerely, you even went before God, you went to them and they said, well, okay, or they just have an attitude like they really are not receiving it, at the end of the day, that's on them. Now that sits in their court. That's between them and God, because now you've done what you needed to do, and it's on them. And that's kind of scary if they're in, especially if they're a saint of God, and you're going to them as another saint, and you're saying, "Please forgive me for what I did." Let's say you said something wrong, and they're not accepting it. That's a scary place to be, because people don't think about this one thing, and I try to keep this in the forefront of my mind. God could come that moment that you don't forgive, and you could be sitting in hell for not forgiving that one individual. So the sad thing about that is, it's something wrong with their heart if they can't forgive, because at the end of the day, we all do wrong, and sometimes you may be the individual that person is coming back to ask for forgiveness, and a lot of times if you're the individual that's holding it, you need to go to God and say, God, help me, because I can't forgive them. That's being honest. I can't forgive them, so help me. Help my heart. Touch my heart, because at the end of the day, we all got to make it to heaven. And so sometimes it may not just be one time. You may have to go to God several times as being that individual who can't really let it go. So that person, is something wrong with them. Even if they don't do that, it's something wrong with their heart. I question, are they really saved?
Because every one of God's people should know how to forgive. I agree. I would question where they actually are. And David said, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. And it can be very offensive when you're as Elder Blake was talking about, you humbly going to that person and they refuse to forgive. I tell you, it can be a problem that you have to start looking at yourself sometimes to keep from getting an attitude behind you're going to them, asking them to forgive you. But again, it's on them. I agree with you. It's on them. And Elder Anthony Mason, you spoke about joy, and it brought a question into my mind. Why do you think then, Elder Mason, why do you think that so many people are looking so sad when it comes down to being in church or so-called, as they use the expression, living for the Lord? Why do you think there's so much sadness? Because you said in his presence is a fullness of joy. What do you think about that, Elder Mason?
Hey, amen. I think that a lot of people feel with so much sadness because they're definitely not getting into the presence of God. If they don't know how, they need to ask and seek and find out how to get into God's presence. Because like you just said, that we said talked about earlier, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Joy casts out all of that sorrow, casts out all of that doubt, and casts out all of that sadness that you have in your life. If you have joy, joy extends farther, like I said earlier, extends farther than happiness. Because happiness is just a temporary feeling that you get just because something happened in your life or something temporary has occurred in your life. But joy is an eternal feeling. It is an eternal spirit that God gives to you. And it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. God gives you joy if you get into his presence, if you get into his word, if you continue to live according to what he has called you to live by, you'll continue to live in joy.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because they haven't gotten into the presence of joy. Elder Blake, you made mention, about humility, and which created a question again in my mind. Why then do you think, Elder Blake, why do you think that there's so many people that are proud around the church world and proud because of their position or cars or clothing? Or why do you think there's so many proud people? Easter just passed, and a lot of people didn't even go to church before that. But on Easter, they walked in and they're proud outfit. Why do you think there's so much pride in a time when God is saying for people to live in a humble state of mind?
Well, you know, pride is a problem. You know, the Bible talks about how that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Originated pride because he tried to exalt himself above God. And because iniquity was found in him, God cast him down to the earth, you know, and it was pride. Pride was the original issue with the devil himself, and he tempts people to that same sin. He tempts people to get lifted up in pride. He tempts people to exalt themselves. You know, I was reading a passage of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 1. It's very interesting. It's about one of David's sons named Adonijah. And the Bible says that Adonijah exalted himself to be king. And he wasn't ordained to be king, but he exalted himself to be king. And David said, oh, no. After hearing from Nathan the prophet, David said, no, my son Solomon is going to be king. And he told Nathan to anoint Solomon king. They blew the trumpets. And then what happened was Adonijah, realizing Solomon was anointed to be king, he had to come and bow himself before Solomon as king. So at the beginning of the chapter, he's exalting himself, and at the end of the chapter, he's bowing himself. And that's what happens when people get lifted up in pride. You know, the Bible says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we're not following the example of Jesus anytime we get lifted up in pride. We're not walking in the spirit anytime we get lifted up in pride. That's a work of flesh. So if people are carnally minded, if they're not renewing their mind to the things of God and they're thinking of themselves more highly than they ought, then they ought to think of themselves. That's when pride can enter in. And when pride enters in, if it's not repented of, it can lead to destruction.
Praise the Lord, Elder Blake. I think you covered that pretty well here on tonight. We're talking about the promises that's in God's word, but questions, excuse me, it only created questions in my mind. And we've got about two more minutes, but I want to ask Sister Yvonne Watson. I want to ask you, you spoke about loneliness. Why is it that people are not really lonely, seemingly lonely for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they using substitutes in reference to fulfill their loneliness rather than being having a loneliness to get, as we're talking about, into the presence of God? Why do you think so many people are lonely, but they're not satisfied with going after Christ?
Pastor Martin, yes, this is definitely, once again, something that I can relate to, because when you're in that lonely place, and instinctively you want to feel the presence of the Lord and you don't quite understand why you don't, your first thought is to get rid of whatever that feeling is. And instead of addressing it to the Lord, because he knows what that feeling is, it could be the enemy trying to put something in your mind. It could be other people trying to put other things into your heart. It can be many, many, many things, but we need to go to the source. And instead of going to the source, we just want this instant gratification. For example, we don't want to wait on the Lord. So we say, well, you know what, I'm just going to call up my best friend, and maybe they'll take me out to lunch and make me feel better, or I'm just going to go shopping. Shopping always makes me feel better. Or I'm going to eat because food is comfort. So I'm just going to eat, and I will love this food, and I'm going to feel better. And the strange thing about it is once we've gone and done all of that stuff, we still don't feel no better. And we're like, just like other people in the Bible had to do the same thing. You know, David, nobody felt loneliness more than David. Well, next to Christ, because he told his disciples to pray when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and found them asleep. So he felt it, I'm sure, more than David. But I think about David, and David cried out to God like no other that I can think of. I mean, his son rose up against him. The men of Israel was after him, and he had to leave the city, leave his house, leave his family. And his only recourse was to go to God and to plead for mercy and to have God intervene, because God is our only hope. But a lot of people, they just don't think immediately to go to God. And that's our first source. So that's what we have to do. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Thank you, Sister Yvonne. You really broke that down with David. He lost almost everything from the standpoint of confidence and everything in reference to his family, because of, and that's a lonely position to be. But a person in their loneliness, they should turn to the Lord. They should turn to the Lord. And for you that's listening on tonight, we've been on a blog talk in reference where we're talking about the promises of God. I want to take a moment and get ready to pray for you, because maybe you, some of these things have been said. It's been a situation or a problem or a condition in your life, and maybe the promises that have spoken, that have been spoken of, maybe they have brought to light things that you need to deal with. Let me pray a simple prayer and a quick prayer that God will turn around and heal you where you need to be healed and deliver you where you need to be delivered. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to stretch out your hand. Heal those that are listening. Deliver those that are listening. Give to those that are listening, oh God, a deliverance, a victory in their life. Help them to overcome all things in the name of Jesus. Heal all manner of sickness, all manner of afflictions, all manner of diseases. Show yourself strong in the heart and the life of those, oh God, that are seeking you, oh God, because you said you would never leave them and you would never forsake them, and that you want to fulfill their expectations. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is Apostle Gregory Martin. I'll give it back now into the hands of our co-host, Elder Anthony Mason, to have the last words.
Hey, man, thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio tonight. We ask that you tune in on tomorrow night for our Sunday morning replay of the message preached by Apostle Gregory Martin. He is guilty. He did it. Apostle Martin preached an awesome message on last Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. Tune in tomorrow night to hear it. We thank you for listening to us again. God bless you and have an amazing night.
See, they got it. Let's go. Yep.